Well, good morning, everyone. We're here on God's Sabbath to once again be refreshed. I liken it many times to God's oasis in a dry and thirsty world. And certainly we're here to learn and to grow in the grace and knowledge of God's Word and how it impacts on all of our lives, because it certainly does. God is the Supreme One. He is the one that has the final word in every aspect of life, because He's the source of all life in heaven and earth, visible and invisible. So what we're going to do today, we're going to take and we're going to get close to a subject that I think we all need to really embrace with a greater fervency as never before. Scripture recognizes that in each of us as human beings, fear is a legitimate motivator of human thought and action. We all fear certain things. But because we're all so different and every one of us have different ways of looking at things, no two people look exactly the same at anything because we're all individuals. God created us that way. But God's truth instructs us what we should fear, not man's fear. We should fear the fear of God. And fear of God is something that is not very popular today. People don't want to hear about God. They don't want to hear about what is transpiring from a biblical point of view. You know, at one time, mankind, as the scripture says, knew God. We find that in Romans chapter 1. I find this quite interesting because the Bible gives us step-by-step direction showing us how mankind has deteriorated in his relationship with God. In past generations, people understood and recognized in Romans 1 and verse 19, it says, "But that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has done what? Has shown it to them." Everything around you is a manifestation of God's hand. But then it goes on to say, "For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen." Now, there's a lot of stuff here going on that's invisible that nobody really understands, nobody really grasps and comprehends, but God has shown it to them, and they're clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. That there has got to be something that has made all of this. It didn't just happen by accident. And so it goes on to say that what? These things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. In other words, God has given us a brain and intelligence, and we should be able to evaluate this whole spectrum of life that we're exposed to. And how in the world can we say that this all happened by accident? And yet there are people who believe that. There are people who believe the earth is flat too. A flat earth society. And so we find that people can believe anything. But the Bible shows us what we should believe, what we should embrace. And here it goes on to say, verse 21, because that when they knew God. Yes, that's hard to believe that at one time people really didn't know about God. They didn't know his plan and purpose, but they understood God did exist. They didn't deny that. They had to say something greater than just everyday circumstances created all this. And because of that, what does it go on to say? It says that when they knew God, there came a change and they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. They became unthankful in their behavior and they began to lose something. And because of the vain in their imagination, they became, it says, and foolish, their foolish heart was darkened. And then it goes on to say, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. By claiming they were so smart, they actually proved how dumb they were by taking this approach, by denying God. Only a fool has said in his heart, there is no God. If we take that approach, we brand ourselves as being very foolish. Now he goes on to say, professing themselves wise, they became fools, and what? And changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into the image made of corruptible man, birds, four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wow. Verse 25, they changed the truth of God into a lie. And they did what? They worshiped the creation, the creature, more than the Creator who is blessed forever. Amen. So be it. Now what that tells us basically is this, that man began to substitute something for God. That substitution became something that we're all familiar with, and many of you who have gone through school or in school, college, and that, you're familiar with this. It's called evolution. It became the new religion, the religion of mankind, how to explain creation without a creator. We don't need God. God doesn't exist, because we know that by our own intelligence, all these things just happen by accident. Well, we know that deep down inside is not true. They're living a lie that they've created for themselves so that they can justify their behavior and their action. That's why the fear of God is not popular. It's not popular as a concept. And yet there are many people who claim they believe in God, and they may be sincere, but here's the approach. They like to think of God that he should be understood primarily as our friend. Oh, we want him to be our friend. We want him to be our buddy, our partner. And it is true that God wants us to have a joyous relationship with him. He really does. He hungers and thirsts for that, and he makes known how that is to be done and how it is to be understood. And so what he is doing, he is giving us a wonderful understanding that he can have a close personal relationship. A person can have one with God, but it is very important, do not downplay the fear of God in that relationship. Do not downplay the proper fear of God, because if you do, it will lead to a disaster. If God is your buddy, if God is your friend, and you kind of, oh yeah, me and God, we're all together. Yeah, well, God wants us to be together. He wants us to be loving toward each other. He wants us to love him with all our heart, all our soul, all our strength, because he loves us. And he proved his love when he gave Jesus Christ to us, to die for us, to make it possible for a door to be opened into eternity and a future for every human being who will comply with God's will and purpose. And his purpose is to bring many sons unto glory, as we read in Hebrews. And the practical purpose then of fearing God, is there a practical purpose for fearing God that you and I need to understand? And the answer is this. God has outlined this so very clearly, so simple that a child can understand if you just read it for what it said. The practical purpose of fearing God is to keep you, to keep me, to keep all of us out of trouble. Do you like trouble? I don't like trouble. I don't think any of us like trouble. But we live in a world filled with troubles. And we have to realize, again, that's not according to what God wants. So something else is going on that is creating all the trouble. But God's fear, the fear of God, as we're going to expand and look at this subject, very important. It is to keep us out of trouble. What kind of trouble are you talking about, Pastor? Well, how about financial trouble? If you follow God's financial laws, you can stay out of financial trouble. The nation today doesn't seem to follow any laws of that nature, and so we're now just getting deeper and deeper in debt. And anybody who doesn't follow God's laws, financial laws, will get into trouble financially. Then what about legal troubles? Oh yeah, there's all kinds of legal troubles that can happen if you do not fear God. Because you can run awry in a carnal, evil world with so many different difficulties that can come your way, but you can be spared much of it if you have a relationship with God and the fear of God is in your mind and in your heart. That's how you operate. What about sexual problems and trouble? Oh, there's a lot of people all messed up sexually in life. Why? Because they lean to their own understanding. You know, it's just a problem that people don't recognize. They're smart in their own mind. They think they have the answer. No, what God's fear does it surrounds us and keeps us in the safe, what I call the safe zone. Keeps us away from all the things that can harm us. I just listed a few of those. But what about your right relationship with other people, whether it be in school, whether it be in college, whether it be at work? Relationships are important. When you follow God's instruction, you can develop right relationships. When you don't, and you lean to your own understanding, well, that's what the other guy does. He leans to his understanding, and what do? Bang, you collide. Have you ever run into people where you've collided? Yeah, I think all of us had at one time or another. It's just part of life. And we have to learn, what does God say? And God talks about how you treat people. How would you like to be treated? We call it the golden rule. And what does the golden rule do? Do unto others as you would have others do unto you. So it's there to guide us and keep a good relationship with mankind and also with God as well. Yeah, even neighbors. How many times people have problems with their neighbors? It's so good to have a good neighbor relationship, because you don't want to have to walk out of the house every day and look at the neighbor, and the neighbor can't stand you, and you're all frustrated because you have this friction going on with your neighbor. But it happens. It happens in this world, because why? Not everybody fears God. It's a concept, as I say, is not accepted in the minds of most people. And even the ones that claim that they do worship God, what do? Well, it makes it very clear what they do. They have a form and ceremony of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. When you deny the power thereof, you're denying what you should be fearing. The fear of God is something that strikes scary and also blessing at the same time. We're going to look at some of this. We don't obey the things of God that he outlines for us just because there's physical blessings that come with it, because he does bless us. And he gives us those blessings for what? To live this life, to make this life enjoyable. And aren't we thankful that we live where God has placed his hand and his blessing? Because the world we live in does not have these kind of blessings. In fact, they all want to come here. They criticize this country, but they all want to come here. Why? Because of the blessings. The blessings. They want those blessings. But blessings must be understood in this context. They're only short term. They're only here for a while. You can't take them with you. They're not going to be with you. But whatever you have, rejoice with God. Enjoy it. Use it to the max. That's why he made it available to you. But one thing we need to keep in mind, we fear and obey God because of his promise for righteous judgment. His promise for righteous judgment. Because he's evaluating all of us each and every day. Most people don't see God anymore because, again, they don't want to. He can be seen. He was seen at one time and they understood. They acknowledged him. But then they turned their back on him. And now what happens? They run awry. And they're trying to create problems, or solve problems, better put. But those problems cannot be solved the way they're going about them. Jeremiah talks about that in his writings, where he says very plainly, my people have forsaken the fountains of living waters. That's God, where he pours out living life experience and gives the blessing of his spirit. But what does man do? He says he hews out cisterns that can hold no water. He's trying to solve problems that originate in sin and trying to solve them in the physical realm, and you can't do it. It takes, again, conversion, repentance, and only God can heal that broken heart. Only God can do that very thing. So a judgment that an all-knowing, all-seeing, loving, fair, and just God, which is also comforting, is also scary. Because God, again, is not one who wants to be taken for granted. The moral and spiritual instruction provided by God begins with something all of we've learned. Keep the commandments of God. Keeping the commandments of God starts you on that straight and narrow path that leads to life. If you choose not to keep the law of God or the commandments of God, what he instructs, then you're going the broad way that leads to destruction. Jesus talked about that. And he says, many go that way. He said, they just do. Because they're not interested in following God's commandments. They got their own commandments, the things they want to do. They don't want to do the will of God. There's so many things they want. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. All of that is working in their lives. And all of us have been exposed to that. We were reared in this world under those circumstances. And so what has God done? He's called us out of this world. And in calling us out, he has done something wonderful. He's revealed to us laws that are very important. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 15, verse 33. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 33. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom. And before honor is humility. This is something that man does not like. He does not like to walk humbly before God. He thinks he's more qualified to be God. And so he doesn't need God. And those that persist in that type of thinking, they have to reap the consequences of their decisions. Those that humble themselves before God, things change and life gets better. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 7. It says, when a man's ways please the Lord, when God is pleased with the way you and I are living, striving to live according to his commandments, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Yeah, because as human beings, we all have enemies. We would like everybody to love us and like us, but they don't. There are wicked people in this world, and wicked people hate people who are striving to be righteous according to God's laws and commandments. Why do you think they preach doing away with the law of God? Even Jesus said, well, don't think I came to destroy the law. I came just to fulfill it, set as a role model for you. But no, people say that law is done away. We don't want any part of that law. That's Old Testament. That's the harsh God of the Old Testament. We want that loving God who just loves us and tells us, I'm okay, you're okay. And that's not true. We're not okay. All of us are in very, very dangerous territory as human beings. The moral and spiritual instruction provided by God begins with his commandments, and attitudes that are formulated in our minds through the power of God's Spirit, called fruits of the Spirit. We begin to live the fruits of the Spirit, spoken of in Galatians chapter 5. And we embrace those attitudes of mind because we know that's the way that brings peace, joy, and happiness, everything we really want. But you and I can't have it trying to seize it ourselves. We can't have it. Man gets temporary shots at things and he thinks, oh boy, now I've got it made. No, we don't. We don't have it made. We get into trouble too quickly. Once you understand what God's standard is, whoo, and all of us have come to see that, what do you realize about yourself? You realize how much you and I fall so short of that marvelous standard. And that's what Jesus even said, or Paul said it through actually the scripture. He said what? Concerning man. He said that man does what? He falls short of the glory of God. God wants to transform us and bring glory into our life. He wants us to experience a dimension like we've never. He's given this as a sampling of life. And it's good, even though it has its ups and downs, and we're here to learn from them. Even Jesus said, don't take them out of the world, Father, but protect them from the evil that's in this world. They need help. So God is watching over us and he's providing for us. But here's some things to think about. And this is what I'm striving to do today, to bring some things to your mind concerning the fear of God that you and I may not have taken into consideration. Because there's a tremendous amount of disrespect in this world today. It's an attitude that is prevailing. That is Satan's attitude. There is protocol with God. There are things we need to understand. We don't just take God in a haphazard manner. And those that do are going to find out the hard way that you do not mess with God, because he can be a consuming fire. And people don't want to hear that. There's two sides of God's character. He's a loving God. He's a caring God. But he's a God that doesn't put up with monkey shines. He doesn't want us giving him half-hearted efforts. That's a warning to Laodicea. You're rich in increase in goods, and you think you have need of nothing. You haven't even begun to see yourself as you are. Wow. That's kind of scary. But that's the thing about God. And we're going to see a little bit more about him. But here's some of the things to think about. The fear of God teaches us to be humble before him and trust him. To be humble before him and trust him. That's the only way God will receive us. He's not going to take us as a pride, cocky individual and think, boy, we're so good. No, God says, you better walk humbly, because we're told in the scripture, he does what? Man goes up with pride, and God says he resists the pride, he pulls down. What about the humble? The people who feel kind of worthless, and they feel like, you know, they're the offscourings, or as some elite in this world would call us, deplorables. What would be the answer to that? Very plain. God says he takes that which the world despises, and he raises it up in due time to glory, honor, and immortality, eternal life. Wow. That's fantastic. But that's what God is offering to us. Fear of God understands that nothing is hidden from him. Oh boy, this is where the world doesn't like this idea. They're trying in their own way to have a big brother idea where they're monitoring everything we do in the physical realm. Well, God was way ahead of that a long time ago, but he monitors us for our good, not for trying to be harsh toward us in any way. God knows our thoughts. He knows the motives of our heart. What's behind it? What's your goal? Why do you do what you do? What makes you tick as a human being? This is what God wants to know. Sometimes we're not even consciously aware of our motives, and we have to pray for discernment. Lord, help me to see and understand what I can't understand about myself. Make known to me, show me, but be gentle with me. Don't come down hard on me, because you can, and I don't want to learn it the hard way. These are things we can talk to God about and express our concern. The fear of God teaches us kindness and love and loyalty and faithfulness. That's the antidote to evil. Those things, those virtues are antidotes to evil. If everyone were doing that, what a world this would be. It would be different. Well, in the millennial kingdom of God, those virtues are going to be brought forth and people are going to embrace them. The fear of God also leads to peace with God and with our fellow human beings. So the fear of God is very, very wonderful, because it's part of a plan in which all of us have an eternal destiny to partake of. This is not everything. Some people think this is all there is, and God says, oh no, there's so much more. You haven't even begun to see what yet God has provided. Now, here's some things we need to consider, how God has built this fear of God into the very creation to make us aware of these things. Reality is governed by law. If you're truly looking to be a realistic person, not living in a false fantasy world, if you're thinking in terms of every day, I want to see life as life is, then you need to understand physical reality is governed by laws. And that means these are laws you and I should not break. The material universe that God created is governed by these laws. What are they? Physics, gravity, supply and demand. All these different laws govern our behavior and our activity in life. if you don't want to face reality, and you say, well, I don't believe in the law of gravity, so the next time you get a chance to go to the Empire State Building, jump off. And you will discover reality. Real quick. Stand in front of a train. Tell the train to stop. It won't. They'll just run right over you if you don't get out of the way. So these are things, again, laws that govern God's universe. Now, scientists, economists, politicians, philosophers, they know nothing. They know nothing or little or better put, they know little of nothing about these laws. They study certain things, but they never understand it in the context of the fear of God, why God gave them. Now that brings us to another aspect, that God teaches us the physical so that we can understand the spiritual. Because if there are physical laws, then there must be spiritual laws that are also in play. And if we don't understand how to show respect for God's physical laws, how are we going to show respect for his spiritual laws? Those spiritual laws are going to take us somewhere. I'll show you in a little bit where they're going to go. No, spiritual laws, humans are able to discern by observation under certain circumstances, and well-rounded knowledge of spiritual laws do what? They bring us to an awareness of our Creator. Bring us to an awareness of our Creator. Now here's the thing. This is the title of the sermon. I've spent a little time to go through this in the introduction, but I want you to get this very important title, because this is where so many fall down today. Because everyone today in this world, unless they're really seeking God, they're going just in the opposite direction. And what are they learning? They're not learning the proper fear of God. The title of this message is Proper Fear in the Presence of God. I want to emphasize that again. Proper fear in the presence of God. Why is that important? Because you and I are sitting right here in this meeting hall. And why are we here today? Because there is a God who has given us a spiritual command to assemble before him on the seventh day. And we have agreed to do that. Now, how do we come before God when we come? Are we laid back, taking it for granted, just any old way? Or do we come with an awareness of God's protocol? How we are to operate, how we are to conduct ourselves, how we are not to become careless with regard to the Sabbath, because it is to be kept holy. God is looking for sons and daughters who listen to what he says and practice what he says. This is important for all of us. You find in Exodus chapter 20, verses 18 through 21, Exodus 20, 18 through 21, that fear is an appropriate response to the presence of God. Now, I want you to remember this, because it's the situation where they had the opportunity to hear God speak to them. And the purpose was to do what? The positive purpose of God's fear is to keep us out of trouble, from doing evil. I've emphasized that before. That's important to keep in mind. Verse 20. Moses says the following, and he says this to the people, "Do not be afraid." All right, there's a great lesson for us to learn. We are not to be afraid of God. We're talking about the fear of God, but not to be afraid of God. But listen carefully. Because why? God has come, you'll read in that, those scriptures, God has come to test you. You and I are being tested. We're being tested right now, because we've come before God right now. But it's a spiritual presence. His presence is everywhere in the universe. And through his Spirit, he is able to look and analyze our motive for being here, why we're here, what we want to do to improve our lives to be more like God and Jesus Christ, or whether we're just clocking time. That's important to understand. He says, God has come to test you, Moses is telling the people, so that the fear of God will be with you to keep you from sinning. There was the motive God revealed. That's what the fear of God is. It's to keep us from sinning. It's the best thing we could possibly embrace, especially in a world that is saturated with sinful behavior. And so what do we see? We see here both a negative and a positive in the same sentence. The same sentence. God is teaching us there's the positive side and the negative side. The positive side is that God, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. I'm not going to give it hurt. But on the other side, if you step over a certain line where God says you better not, you better be scared, because he has power. The same account is found in another incident in Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 24 through 29. It's a parallel account of the Mount Sinai encounter. And it tells us the reaction that God had when the people spoke like they did. And what did they say? Moses, you talk to us, not God. We don't want to hear from God, because if we hear from him, man, we're going to die. And what was God's answer? It said that God was pleased with that answer. He says, it's well said. Why is that? Because God wants to have us with a healthy fear of him, not a false fear, a healthy fear, but not a negative fear of terror that you want to avoid him at all costs and don't want to have anything to do with him. God wants you to have a relationship with him, but he doesn't want it to be a careless one. You know, every parent wants to have a relationship with their sons and daughters, but they don't want to have it a careless. You know, mom and dad are mom and dad. That's emblazoned in the commandments. Honor your parents, because there's something different about mom and dad as opposed to the siblings. Siblings are brothers and sisters, but they're not moms and dads. One day they may be when they're on their own, but in this particular case, what we're told is that God, he saw a very important principle that's laid in that scripture, and that is this. The people, when they heard Moses say what he did, and the people heard God's voice, they panicked. They panicked. They said, God will kill us if we get around him. Well, here's the point. There is a great danger when you come close to a God who is filled with glory and holiness, and that is threatening to every physical human. Before God, we would be vaporized. Do you remember when Moses asked a very important question? He says, might I see your glory? What was the answer given to him? You can't look upon me. You won't survive. But here's what I'll do. I'm going to put you in a little kind of a cubby hole in a rock, and I'm going to come by and I'm going to pass my glory before you, and I'm going to shield you with my hand. But it'll just be a fast, quick pass, and you'll see, that's as much glory as I'll be able to show you. You remember what happened? When he came by, and he looked, and he saw a similitude of someone who looked like a man, a human being. Incredible. God made us what? Male and female in his image. And he wants us to understand how that image is to be one day supplanted over our physical image. We're to move from this life to a far greater life in the years to come. But humans must approach God carefully. Why? And I can't emphasize this enough. If we don't approach God carefully in our prayers, in our everyday action, and you take God for granted, you can die. I don't know if we think about things like that. Take God for granted. Try to go things your own way. What's the end result? The Bible tells us in Romans. Paul tells us that the wages of sin, which we've all done, produces what? Death. It ends in death. There's no hope in the grave, where everybody goes in the process of time. So what is our hope? Our hope is in God. Our hope is in Jesus Christ. And it is God's hope that you will embrace the fear of God, that it may be well with you and your children forever. Because this is training and learning something about God. God would overwhelm us if he manifested himself because of the fire of righteous judgment that he demonstrates. You see him there in the book of Revelation. His eyes were like flames of fire. Incredible. But this is the God that you and I are called to worship and serve. But God changed all that from the Old Testament. He brought about something new. Here he was in his divine state, but the people were scared to death. They wanted to get away from him. God had to do something. And what did he do? God came to the earth to join us as a human being. He sent Jesus Christ in the flesh to dwell among us so that we could relate to Jesus, who was tempted in every point like we are, yet without sin. This is the great revelation of Scripture. Through Jesus, it was possible now for the most holy God to be present among human beings, to walk among them, talk to them, and to even die as one of them. What a wonderful God we have. His presence, we experience part as a mental exercise in our minds. Conversion is in the mind. This is where it's all going out. That's why you have to guide your mind very carefully. This body is not designed to last forever. But the conversion that's in the mind is designed to take us into something that is wonderful. But you see, there is a danger in what I've just told you. Because Jesus came in the flesh, didn't he? So now he's like one of us. Now it's harder for you to believe that he's the Son of God. That's why heresies began to come. I don't believe Jesus is the Son of God, they said. Jesus threw that one right back and he says, fellas, who do you say I am? Peter jumps right out and he says, you are the Son of God, the Son of the living God. And he says, my Father revealed that to you. You couldn't see it by looking at flesh because he was just like everyone else. But when he is in flesh, you can deny him. You can deny him. But when he's on top of a mountain and he's spitting fire and lightning and smoke and everything else, and you see his power made manifest, what is it? You can't deny that. It scares the daylights out of you. So you want Moses to talk to you. So you see the difference? Power on one side. So he comes as a humble child in the manger. He walks humbly among human beings. What else happens? He made possible the Holy Spirit to come to us. Now, the Holy Spirit working in our lives, nobody can see that, can they? It's in your mind. And the manifestation of that Holy Spirit becomes through the action and the fruit and how you live, the fruits of the Spirit. But people can't see it if you're not living it. So if the Spirit of God is in us, then we should be producing the fruit that demonstrates the will of God. It's amazing how this is, but human beings will do what? They will reject it. They will reject the Spirit of God. To show you a real quick example you're familiar with, I won't take much time, but in Acts chapter 2, verse 38 through 43, the fear of God was very present in the church of God in the beginning. When it started after Pentecost, everything was moving at a very high clip, so to speak. It was really moving. And in Acts 5, in verse 1 through 6, we get the story of Ananias and Sapphira. Now, what was the problem there? We won't go into great detail because we've talked about this before. But they did some conniving behind the scenes. They wanted to appear one way to the membership of the church, like they were so much with it, and yet they had connived a daily behind the scenes to hold back. And so what did God do? He allowed them to be struck dead. Wow, that went like dynamite through the church. Everyone said, hey, have you heard about Ananias and Sapphira? Did you hear that? You hear what happened to him? He walked up, he died, and all of a sudden the wife walks in, she dies? Wow. And great fear fell upon the church at that time. Yeah, you know, it gets your attention. And that's what God was doing. He was getting their attention. The fear of God. And I'd like you to turn with me here to the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Because there's something here we want to look at. And explains why each and every Sabbath you and I are here. Ephesians 5, verse 17 through 21. We're told, wherefore, be you not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Don't be drunk with excess of wine. Be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns, songs, singing and making melody in your heart. In other words, go through the day and sing songs from our hymnal. Make those songs come alive in your life. It's amazing how they add encouragement. Verse 20, giving thanks always for all things unto God, the Father, and the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Now there's the problem. Mankind will not submit to the fear of God, so therefore they can't get along. All these talks with Putin and our president, Mr. Biden, not going to produce anything. Talk is cheap, as the old saying goes. Action speak louder than words. And that's what God is looking for. He's looking for action in our life. And as that is clearly made known, that God does not come naturally to the flesh and blood human mind, it has to be learned. You and I are in a learning process. You remember back there in the book of Deuteronomy, our relationship is referenced in Deuteronomy about the importance of Deuteronomy 4, verse 10. That's what it is. When we are called to assemble before him. Now, we are called right here to assemble before God on each and every Sabbath. And what is the purpose? Well, Deuteronomy 4, 10 says that we may learn to fear him. Learn to fear him. Why do we have to learn to fear him? Because it's not natural in our human carnal state to fear God. You and I are learning this process, and it takes a lifetime. And we're told to stay with it. And this is how you make your relationship with God a good and active and meaningful relationship. You maintain the fear of God. God's eyes are upon us. Just a couple more scriptures. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. And in 1 Peter chapter 3, beginning in verse 10, for he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that speak no guile. Let him stay or turn away from eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. Why? Verse 12. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. He's right here with us watching everything we do. His eyes are over us. His ears are open to their prayers. And his face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you if you be followers of him, of that which is good? So being a follower of God is very important. Personal holiness, cleanness of mind, conscience is achieved through godly fear. You see that in 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 1. God is perfecting these things in us. And then we find in Ecclesiastes 12, verses 13 and 14, this is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole person. This is what you and I are striving to be. God is working in and through us to accomplish his will and his purpose. But it is predicated on something that we must never forget. To develop and maintain a healthy fear of our God. You don't want to cross God in any way, shape, or form. The world has thrown insult upon insult to God. You read in Proverbs chapter 1, he offers tremendous counsel and wisdom. He said, because you would not listen when I spoke to you, he says, I'm going to laugh when your calamity comes. Now, how's that for you there, world? Are you enjoying all the upheaval you're going to see that you've brought upon yourself because you wouldn't listen when I was trying to keep you on that straight and narrow path? You went contrary to me. You threw prayer out of the schools. You started killing babies, and yet you want me to feel sorry for dogs and support dogs and other type of creatures, which is fine. God cares for animals. We have to too, but not at the expense of children, little babies being born and aborted. And then, of course, the last slap in the face was same-sex marriage. Those three things that I've just given to you, there goes the prayer, your communication line with God. Bang, there goes the future generations of your nation. Your nation won't survive if you don't have new children coming online, but you kill them. And number three, you insult me, I made them male and female, and you insult me and say, anything goes. In baseball terminology, I'll end with this. Mankind, end time Israel, to whom this message is directed, strike three, you're out.